Tell you what, that's a good way to start the episode.
You... I can't speak any other language.
Oh, actually, we don't do introductions here because, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Well, yeah. I have freaking two drinks. I'm an alcoholic.
No, you do your own introduction. That's how it works.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity, literally, to tell everyone who you are.
Okay.
Without us labeling you.
Okay.
Go.
So who is Danielle Weber?
Hi, my name's Danielle, and I have two drinks in front of me. That's not even 5 p.m. on a Friday.
This is actually yours as well. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't drink, so.
It's 3 p.m. on a Friday. It's still in work hours.
That's the way.
Right, am I looking at cameras or I'm just talking to you guys?
Whatever you feel
wherever,
like.
Wherever, wherever, yeah.
I'm going to get rid of this.
Start looking at cameras and start staring at the margarita. Like she's got the answer to that. There you go. That's a way to start the episode.
Wow. Okay.
Love it.
I look like less of
tell you what, you don't need an introduction after that. That's it. That is it.
My name is Danielle Weber and I just sculled one margarita. I'm on to my second.
Salud.
Cheers.
Welcome. Salud.
That's a way to start.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh. Thank you for coming. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
I've never
here.
Been here, so I'm wearing.
Never been to Hotel Jesus.
Nothing better. Well, we're drinking bars.
I tell
too
you
heavy
what.
For...
Oh, look, that's this is honestly what this is about. You know, have a good time, have some drinks, learn a little bit about you, what you do. I tell you what, we don't normally do the introductions, but I'm gonna.
I can do it. I was just messing around.
Okay.
It's like she's not gonna introduce herself. No, so basically, Melbourne-based artist.
She's like, I got the check mark. I don't need to introduce myself.
I'm a Melbourne-based artist, and I've been on this journey for 12 years now. And I started more traditional on canvases, and then I transitioned into murals, large-scale murals, probably about 7 or 8 years ago now, and. Recently, I've dived headfirst into the NFT space and the Web3 space, and I got asked this morning if I'm doing managing all parts of my business, and yes, I'm still doing everything because I think they'll all marry well together.
Okay.
And the trust that you've built in your, you know, Web2 brand, your community will, you know, eventually be able to give back to them as well.
That's how we came across your work.
Yeah.
Thanks to the NFT space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were victims, or not victims, but we got on the wave at the start of the year. Like everyone was on.
No, we were victims.
Well, you have
to be a victim if you at some point.
It was self-inflicted. Like, does that count as being a victim? Like,
yes, 100%. If you're still in this space right now, you're a victim.
Actually, I have not met a single person who hasn't been scammed or has lost money somehow.
Yeah. True, or made like a mistake with tax or
exactly
huge lessons with that sort of. So I think everyone is.
Everyone's a victim.
It's a choice at the end of the day.
It is.
We won't have the victim mentality. And it's the best choice I've made. So anyway.
We actually went to that conference we were saying before, and that's the first time, you know, we saw you were at the panel, actually, which was super interesting because we went to that conference really not knowing what to expect. And all of a sudden, it was full room. It was a full room. And we're talking like, you know,
a thousand people.
Yeah,
at least, I think.
And Ollie and I kind of went there thinking, man, there's probably going to be
like
a bunch of guys, like,
yeah.
You know, very male dominated,
yeah.
You know, very geeky
yeah.
kind of crowd. That's what we thought.
That's what got us excited, right?
Because it's like,
well, you know, I don't know, but like, we were so surprised by, like the crowd. And you know, you went on stage and you were very knowledgeable about what was going on at the time. But it sounded as well like everyone was kind of finding their way into this space.
Yeah, or seeing where they would fit or how, like they were, you know, perhaps interested, but wondering like what their path would look like. Because I think, you know, you've got your artists, you've got your creators that have perhaps even just started their like journey as a creator in this space. And then you've got your collectors and your traders and you've got your builders. So I think that was really back then.
Oh, yeah, they had the wristbands.
Yeah.
And
you and I were like, what are we? Like, we're not creating, we're not building.
Oh, that is true. Yeah,
Like, do we get one of each and then see what sticks?
Yes.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
The community was, it was a good community.
It's a very interesting mix. I guess for you to be on that panel, We've got a few things to talk about. I feel like we're jumping the gun, going straight into the NFT.
That was my intro, though. I take the blame for that.
Maybe we can reverse engineer it, you know? Let's start from the now all the way to the back. But like, how did you end up in that panel?
So I think I had connected with Theo, one of the organizers, and I think we'd connected quite a bit before that event actually eventuated, and we'd spoken about some other project, and then he's just like, keep this date free, and I was like, yes, and not even knowing what it would look like, I'd said, yeah, I'm there, and that's been my like general mentality for this space, is like I'm just saying yes to everything, and you know, speaking at events, and you know, I've
how many podcasts do you go to like in recent times?
Yes,
I feel like every other one is like, here we go again.
Nah, I love it. I think it's never comfortable speaking about your journey. The only way to really get comfortable is just to keep talking about it. I think that's like a part imposter syndrome, part like, do people actually want to hear what your journey is? But I think when you start seeing that the ripple effect and the impact that it has, it motivates you to do more. So I've done 5 this week. This is my fifth podcast.
So you start on Monday.
Yeah,
and then one every day until all right,
you're wrapping up the week in style, huh?
And with a mark. So like, how can you, it just tops it, like,
because we had you for the start of the month, like August.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going to be the first one, actually. And you are like the second last one now.
Shattered that I wasn't the first. I'm freaking coming in last now.
Oh, it gave us a bit of time to practice as well, you know?
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't be like, so, probably the first guest.
What are you doing here?
Like and then you went away, and then we had to reschedule. But you're finally here, which is awesome.
Thanks for your patience. Nah, it's not usually like me to be like, change. And
That's right.
Thank you.
You were doing the mural. Was it at the shop, the body shop? What's it called?
The auto body. Yeah, so
I think you were busy before on that one before going away.
Right before I left.
Can you describe the process for that one, and how did you like end up doing the roller door? Was it the roller door?
That was
a different one.
That was one before. So I basically had typically with murals, I like to have a week break in between.
Yeah.
And just because of the mental and physical element of it, like it's a lot, and I definitely like to put 110% into everything, but it just turned out that my schedule was crazy. And so I went from, I think I had did 4 or 5 back-to-back and big projects as well. And I'd just come off another big
like. How long does it take you to complete one, like roughly?
So the roller doors that you were talking about, that was like a week and a half. And then
that's pretty
the
quick.
Scarface one that I'd done, that was, I did through a three long days, isn't it? So my days
like 16 hours?
Yeah, like 14 hours.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And just because the momentum that I get, like it's not because like, oh, I need to hurry up and get it done. It's just like I work.
You're getting the flow, right? In the zone.
Yeah, and I literally like thrive off that momentum. So
but then you're like weather dependent, and then
yes, so that one pushed me out a little bit, the weather dependent one, and it was -1 I think degrees in that week that I was outside, freezing.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen you did one on Swanson Street or Collins Street, if I'm not mistaken, and it's on the side of a building. What is it, like 4 stories high? It looked like that, at least in the video.
Is that the Terminator one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was probably, I think that was 11 stories high.
11 stories
high. But it was at the top of the 11 stories and down. So it was probably, I think it was like 13 or 14 meters, I think, high.
Yeah.
Whatever wide, but it's at the top of like 11 stories. So.
What is really interesting and also fascinating as well is that you're kind of working off like, you know, a very, very small version of that. And I want to hear it from you as well. Like you talked about transitioning from, you know, traditional painting to murals. I'm guessing the transition is because it's a whole different game in, you know, scaling a small picture. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. What's that world of painting murals like?
I remember I kept getting asked by people that, did you paint on like people's walls? And I was like, oh, like, no way, I don't know how to do that, and there's nowhere to go to, you know, get advice or no courses. So I think I said no to for a year or even longer. I was just like, no, like I'm just, and it wasn't even like I was scared, but I was like, I I didn't envisage that for me. Like it wasn't as if I'd ever been like, I want to be a mural artist.
Right.
So when I actually took the steps to just take it on, I had no idea what I was doing.
But you were still curious about that,
still
right?
Still curious, yeah. But I like was making mistakes as I was painting people's walls. But when I realized, like, when I did it, I was like
a Picasso.
Yeah. Like, I was like, this
it was meant to be
this
realistic.
Is,
and all
especially because you are painting portraits a lot of the time.
Yes.
Which, by the way, it's like one of those things that if you, fuck it up.
Yeah.
You fuck it up big time.
Yeah. And if it has to look like someone, they're like,
No. Yeah, exactly.
That nose is not in the right place.
Exactly, right, yeah.
I say that, like, with portraits, you have to be, like, to the millimeter, which is, like, you have to be 100%. So precise with them. Yeah, so anyways, I was curious to see if it was something that I could do, and I took it on, and then I realized it was basically applying the same principles, just on a bit of a larger scale, and it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. Where it is hard is like the logistics and how everything goes wrong, and getting like your foundations and your business practices in place so it runs smoothly, because everything goes wrong on murals.
You
forget this, there's this. It just, I would say like.
Oh, so you also forget things, not just us. You also forget.
Oh my God. It's like, and it'll be like that one annoying thing that you can't get like anything else done.
We feel that pain. Yeah.
to help with that, like, I actually built a checklist that I check every time I go.
Oh, good.
I still
That's
forget
clever.
Shit.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then we're not too bad then.
Yeah, oh, I forgot the checklist. So the transition was like terrifying. And also, like, there's so many variables. Like, I had to get all my licenses for all the machinery. And,
right.
You know, you've got people thinking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
At the time, I had my grandma saying, oh, like, let the boys do those jobs. Like, you know.
All right. So you were also fighting with a bit of an internal self-doubt.
I still do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
After so many murals?
Still, yeah.
Because I feel like seeing something at scale, like, how does it feel to, you know, look at your work stand back and be like, wow, I just did that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably, yeah, it's unreal. Like, when you're in that moment, you don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. And even when I finish it, I'm like, oh, that's sick. I did that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then maybe I'll have like some moments of reflection, but it's still something that's so normal to me now that when people react and like, whoa, I'm like, oh, that's a bit weird. Like, I just paint, you know, like it's not, it's something that I do every day. So, it's pretty cool though, because I think it's so important to have those moments where you stand back and you're like, and to reflect on like where you've come from and where you are now.
Do you go back to the sites and... It sounds like a serial killer. Do you go back to,
you go back to your sides and you got crimes?
You go back just to have a look. Yeah. Just to look at it and be like, oh, that's cool.
Or I just look at
let it happen.
Photos. I'm pretty good at, that's why I love documenting, like taking videos and photos, and I always look back over them. And I'm like, whoa, like that's cool. Even just comparing, you know, how I would have done something a year ago is so different to how I do something now.
Yeah.
So even just to like reflect and compare and just know that there is
you
growth.
Keep evolving, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that I know that I'm like nowhere near where I want to be, and that I'll never reach that point. Like, I know it'll just always be more and more and more.
That's the thing with creating and vision. Like, we are designers, Ali and I, right?
Yeah.
And you always look at your work and you're like, yep, I'm pretty happy for this to go out in the world. And then you look at somebody else's work and you're like, can I take that back? I just got to fix something up.
Can you hit the return button?
Just quickly.
Just when you think you've done something amazing.
Yeah.
That's when the self-doubt creeps in.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's this thing where you kind of need to, like let go, right? Because it's, I guess it's never going to be, you're never going to be happy and fully satisfied with the work,
exactly.
Unfortunately.
I think, and if you come to terms with that, and the fact that like, I feel like there's always going to be someone better or doing better. And like, if you just stop, like, I'm pretty critical of myself, but I also know that like, there is millions of artists out there that are better than me. And I don't like consider myself to be the best. So I'm okay. When people are like, oh, that's not good. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Do you get much hate?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, really?
I laugh. I think it's funny.
Like comments or DMs or just like random person.
Comments, DMs.
Like you like painting and someone is like, that shit. And you're like, okay, whatever.
Like on the spot. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
no, in public it's more like, oh, what's your real job? Or like, what do you do for a living?
Really?
Like, or is this just your hobby? Or
and so this is while you're painting people stuff.
Actually, no, I do get people yell out stuff now that I think about it. I can't remember what
kind of stuff.
Not like that shit. Like, oh, you missed your spot. Or like, oh, that doesn't look very good. Like,
right, really?
Oh, that's not finished.
Yeah,
like,
well, everyone's an art critic, by the way. Everyone is an art critic.
Do you think they're being serious or they're just like, making fun of
both,
it. Yeah.
Both. But I generally just like, you know, I've had some like milkman just giving it to me, and so he came back the next day and then he was asking me about like how much I charge, and then I told him, so I
don't
usually,
you can't afford me.
And he was just like, oh, but like, you don't get all of that, or like, you have to pay like this.
That was
like
a frustrated artist there, I tell you.
Like, he was just like, inside, I was just sort of giggling because I wasn't going to say anything, but he kept going, and I was like, okay, so I'll just like mess with people in other ways. I'll never get angry or anything.
I see why there is a bit of a transition now, because I feel like you're right, like there's so many variables to it that, you know, if you are at your studio, you can control a lot more of your surroundings, right?
Yeah.
Like, take us now back to, you know, the studio, right? And like where do you start? Like, what's your path as an artist as well, and kind of your self-discovery journey of realizing, actually, you know, I'm really good at this.
How far back do we want to go?
I mean, we got all the time in the world, I guess.
Still have a lot going on, so you have some time.
Jeez, there's a guzzler over there.
Yeah, this guy, it's hard to keep up with him.
I usually go for the straight stuff, but because we're in front of the camera, so I just gotta...
Okay, yeah.
You know, chill.
What do you think about the spice amount, though?
It's good. I like it. So usually this is salt, chili, and usually dry lime. And we put this thing on everything in Mexico.
Oh, I love
like
that.
Fruits. I mean, you've been to Mexico.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
come
yeah.
across those little
yeah.
stores.
Everything tastes so much better.
Yeah.
Now I know why.
Yeah.
You can get me some of this.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Yeah, no, question. So, look, I mean...
This happens a lot, so...
We'll give a little rundown. I was drawing and doing anything hands-on from 2 and 3 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, some could say, oh, my journey started consistently when I was 18. And that's, you know, I'm nearly 30, so that's my 12-year journey there. But I think tapping into the creative side of your brain at a young age is so important.
Mm.
So... Mm. I was very much nurtured and encouraged to create and be hands-on. And I think it was evident that that was really one of the only things that I could focus on for long periods of time.
Interesting.
So, and still, and trust me, like, I look like I have my shit together, but really the only thing I, like...
So you're happy when you're creating, like, painting?
Or just, like, I can focus, you know?
You're
like
focused.
Okay.
I can focus more and, like, I can get into a flow state. And I've struggled sometimes still to get there.
It can't be easy. I can't imagine someone standing behind me while I'm doing their work, my work, you know,
yeah,
my job.
Yeah.
And then you get that every day, I would say.
Yeah. Like, if I'm on external, yeah.
Yeah. And then are you okay with that? Like, you just carry on? Like, this, what do you do in that case?
I used to not say anything, and now I'll just say it because people really don't need to be up and close. They can appreciate art from further back. So if they're in my eye, like, in my eye line, like, and I can see them and I can feel them, sometimes I'll just be like, hey, can you just give me a bit of space? Like, or they can see me getting agitated. I'll be like, oh, I have a time lapse on, can you please get out, kind of thing. So,
even if it's not true.
But I think I'm good. Yeah, I don't know. Even, I think I've gotten used to, like, being around the fact that if you are working in a public space, like, it's only natural for people to get up and grill. And so I'm pretty patient. Like, I know because I've worked with other artists and, like, boy, you're way too patient. And I'm like, okay, that'll get shorter and shorter as I go.
So for you, it was more of a journey of like, focusing in.
Yeah, so I think, like, I found myself, like, it was what I was doing. Like, I started watercolor painting when I was 9, and then I sort of went through a bit of a period in my teenage years where I was very much like hanging out with the wrong people and distracted, and then I sort of found art again, and it didn't save me, but I feel like having that there was like an outlet for me, and if it wasn't for my family encouraging me to do so, I probably would have, like, it would have been forgotten, I would have left it behind. However, I didn't become, like, really obsessed with it until I was about 18, 19, and it's been a complete and utter obsession since then.
What was that trigger?
I don't know, actually. I think, like, mindset and the fact that, like, not that I was forced into pursuing it, but because I went to uni and I was like, oh, I don't really love studying art. Like, let's see if I can change that narrative for myself and do it on my own and, like, sort of become obsessed and figure it out as I go in the studio. So as in terms of studio, like, I was working in my parents' spare room. I was working in the middle of the kitchen and I'd just switch off, like, nothing. You know, there's a real family hustle around.
Yeah.
So I was in the middle of the kitchen. I was in the spare room. I was... had art supplies, you know, tucked in every room, and I had no organization or no, I guess it was just a logistical nightmare.
Of course,
for 10 years, and I only just got a studio space a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's interesting, right? Like, it sounded like, you know, at some point something clicked in your head and you're like, yep, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I want to take it seriously as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's really important as an artist, because I'm kind of talking like I know, you know, what it feels like. But even I think as a designer and creative,
it's really similar.
It is similar. Like, yeah. It is very easy to blur that line between this is fun and it's business.
This is business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also from what people interpret it as well. Like, it's what we receive.
You and I have talked about back home how when we said we wanted to do study design, like, my parents were fully supportive of that, right?
Yeah.
Mm. They're like, yeah, you want to do design, do it, whatever. But then we have other family members that will be like, that's not a real job.
Yeah, you know, people, like, don't see it like a serious job.
What are you going to do for a living, you know?
Yeah.
So that was design. That's like using computers, you know? Like, so now imagine art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like painting and all that stuff.
It's even just
like,
more so. Yeah.
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 And it's just like, you got to do something with your life, right? And then this is what I want to do. And it's just hard to really prove that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like as a designer, I just kept pushing just to prove a point to people.
Yeah.
That you can do this for a living.
It's funny you say
and
that.
And then you, like, become good at it.
That,
you
know, is your drive in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. It sounds like, and you turn something that's like, you know, other people would be like, let it get you down, whereas you flip it and you're like, you know what, I'll use that as a fuel. So it's so right. Like, I'm lucky that I had that support.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I still had, you know, all the doubters as well. And I was like, let's just give it a shot. I've been told nothing but, you know, oh, it's starving artists.
You may as well try, right?
What
have
you got to lose?
I was going to say, were your parents...
No, you go first. No, you hang on.
Were your parents supportive because you grew up in an artistic household, or was just they...
Sorry, I was would just support playing with my mic there.
Oh, that does happen a lot.
I was like, that's a foreign object there. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. Were your parents supportive because they were going to do that anyway, whichever career you wanted to, or that you grew up in an artistic household?
I think... they saw something that I didn't. I just,
right.
On that journey, like, I just thought that everyone could paint and everyone could draw, that I just enjoyed it more than other people. I really thought, and even still, like, I look at other artists and I'm like, whoa, I can't do that. Like, I was sat down with someone yesterday and I watched his drawings. I'm like, I can't draw. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I can't draw. Like, I can't draw like that. Like, I can't just, from my head. And he was like, sketchy. I was like, whoa.
Oh, just like, so, I don't know.
Whereas
you have a reference, I guess.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I've trained myself, like, to sort of even have.
Right.
I'm creative, but not, you know, there's a creative genius and I'm like somewhere like down here.
is that a thing?
Yeah, like, definitely.
Some people
just see things like and in their mind can like translate, you know, without any inspiration, without some people just
I feel like sometimes that, people are so creative that they can't see the business side of that.
Oh no, like it destroys them, they
love doing it and they just do it. It's like, I just do it for the love of the art.
Yeah.
You Whereas, actually I heard interview where you said, I'm paraphrasing big time here, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I
won't
hold you to it.
But it's something about that, like, you know, you basically finding that balance between business and art. Mm. And I think it was a commercial for MIOB.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you said something about that. Yeah, it's like finding that balance.
Yeah.
And seeing this as a business, it's a real business, you know. And then once you take that seriously, like, then you can kind of be more, you know, you can live from it, essentially.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And well, that's the thing, like, it wasn't a conscious decision.
Yeah.
But I think knowing that, you know, knowing what my limitations are, knowing there's always room for growth too, so I'm not, like, capping my abilities, yeah, or my capabilities, sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can either just work at my craft, or I can at least put a bit of energy into the business side and at least have a business that survives and runs and I can make a living out of, and I don't have to worry, because in turn, if I'm not worrying, I then can create more freely without being, like, repressed. Like, and I think there's a happy medium.
Yeah.
In saying that too, often I'm doing a lot of business and don't have a lot of time to create. So,
and did you? No, it's my turn. Shut up.
It's my turn. So many questions.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, it's like, calm down.
Go, go, go.
Get another 7 marks. We're gonna be here for a while.
Okay? Yeah, I know, right? Well, I'm done with mine. So, speaking of,
hurry up.
No, please. I don't even know what's the time. Like, how are we doing here? We good? Still going?
Crazy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we good. Thanks, man. From your business, so you're not just doing murals and not just doing, you know, paintings. So now you're digital, right?
Yeah.
Which is another ramification and another stream of revenue. Like, when and how did you decide that this is the way to go? Specifically talking about NFTs and blockchain.
Yeah. So it would have been the start of 2021 that I saw it, you know, come about. And I think, you know, not that I'd gotten to a stage where I was comfortable, but I always like challenging myself and coming, you know, and throwing something, a spanner in the works. And also being one of, like, the first adopters, because I feel like I know what it's like to be in, like, a daunting position and not to do something because you don't know where it's going to go or what path or if it's going to work, especially with all the question marks around the Web3 space. And and through my journey, I've realized that a lot of it is quite lonely, and that a lot of artists don't do things because they don't know if it's going to work, or the fear involved.
I feel like every successful artist has that really sad story attached to them, you know, like all these Van Goghs and and everyone's like
lonely, very traumatic lives.
It's like they were never happy, never known until they were dead, you know. That's not the case with you, but you know.
And I want to change that landscape for artists. I don't want it to be a lonely journey. So I think it was exciting for me because I was like, oh, you know, this is a chance for me to put out my own collections without a brief, without me having to tick a million boxes, and just to see how it goes and see how it's received. Also an opportunity to build a community, but most importantly, an opportunity to show artists that you can diversify your business. You don't have to just be a canvas artist or a mural artist. Like, you can dive into the digital space, even not know, like, I'm not good with tech. I had to teach myself how to use an iPad. I still, like, struggle. I don't know how to use my freaking printer. Like, it's like,
so that's because nobody uses printers anymore. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to use a fax machine. Well, fair enough.
Did you ever use a fax machine?
No, never.
I've never.
I did.
Never. Hey,
I'm 34. I'm 34. I'm not that old. Come on.
Yeah, like, literally, if you ask me how to send a fax, I have no idea. Like,
how crazy is a fax machine? That, like, you copy something, and then it goes through the little lines, and it comes out the other end.
It is cool. It's cool technology, even today, I guess. But thinking about it,
honestly, that wigs me out, and that impresses me more than, like, any of
As a designer back in the day, I remember this. It's probably maybe 2006. Yeah, I started uni, and I can't remember around that time. And I was doing this pro bono work, design business cards and, you know, a little bit of a logo and stuff. And somebody included a fax number in 2006.
Right.
And I was like, last time I used this was, you know, like probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I have that very vivid memory because I said to them, should we just take out the fax? I don't think anyone even uses it. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, actually, I haven't received a fax in like years.
Yeah.
Like, so that's gone. I was like, huh. You know?
Yeah. It was just a traditional way to
do things. It was just a way to do things and keep, you know, you need to, like, now all you need to do is include your Instagram handle or your Twitter handle.
Or your Discord.
Your website, Discord as well. Oh, yeah, brand.
Yeah.
Keep it on brand, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's the way of people to reaching out to you. Like, you don't need to include, like, DanielWeber.com, you know, phone number. You know, like, it's just,
Or a Linktree is one channel.
Oh, I know.
I mean, Linktree, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
How they started. Do you know how they started?
No.
They were, this is what I remember. They were an agency and they saw these pain points for the clients, the customers, you know, call to actions and linking out.
Yeah.
And having a million different platforms and not
having and then these guys as a service provider to the clients, they were like, this is a massive pain point there. Okay. The founder were like, we need to do something about this. And then he just hustled on the side and then Linktree. And if it's not true, maybe they can come here and tell us. That's the right story. But
they solved a
massive issue. And I think they were, if not the first ones, they were like the more prominent ones, you know?
Mm.
And yeah.
Do you use it, Anil?
Linktree? Yes, I do. Yeah.
So and so talking about technology, right? Like you say you can't use a printer, but like
I will persist, but yeah.
I mean, but surely you like, you know, are you managing your socials yourself, or are you getting like people to help you? Like, because you're like always putting out.
So we've given her a title. I've given Alessandra an operations manager. So I have
an OM. Someone helping you. Okay.
Was she sent through your profile
photos?
Yes,
that's Alessandra. Yeah, yes. So Alessandra manages my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my TikTok.
Right.
And my other Instagram, and we sort of both share my Instagram, but I come across like the DMs and everything, but I do have help with that, so
because
it's a lot to be across.
This week
I've had a crazy week, just really busy, and I'm so behind on like all my DMs, because I do reply to everything, and I'm behind on like all of my DMs across, so I'll sit down on the weekend and
you're pretty active on socials, and like I think it's interesting that you know, as an artist, you know, you get those platforms to, you know, promote what you do. Kind of similar, like in the same fashion, I think blockchain has allowed an opportunity for artists to like distribute the work, get it out there to the masses.
Exactly.
And, you know, adding that layer of, you know, fidelity as well to the work, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But like, you know, from not knowing how to use a printer to launching your own NFT project. Like, I mean, I'm trying to put two and two together.
From not knowing how to use a printer.
Well, and that's back to what you said. Like, that's the reason why I wanted to just show artists. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't need to know. You don't need to be an expert in something before you start. Like, where do you start? Like, no, you know, Michael Schumacher didn't know how to drive an F1 car. Why do people think that
his son doesn't know how to drive?
They start like sharing their journey, like shots fired.
That was brutal. I mean, luckily this guy is not. No one to watch this.
I can't picture him just watching. Like, what did he just say?
Machine guns don't just maybe put in a machine gun. That was not a good sound effect. So,
we'll blur that.
Blur that one out.
Nah, keep it. I'll own it.
Okay. No, but isn't like you?
Yeah, but
they think that they need to be an expert before they even start documenting the journey. And I was like, I look back at my podcast and I'm like, at the ones when I first started talking about the Web3 space, I'm like, fire out, I had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not ashamed of that, because that shows where you are now. If you don't know where you were then, like, it's a journey. So that's what really, I guess, it was like, this is uncomfortable. I love being uncomfortable.
Right.
And, you know, comfort is a killer of a lot of things. If you get complacent and comfortable, that's where you... I feel like your growth like plateaus, or
you gotta take some risk here and there.
Yeah. So I think knowing that I especially wasn't good with tech, I was like, you know what, bring it on. And I just want to show other artists that you can do it. You can do it all. Yes, you need a team. Yes, you need to know when it's time to build that team.
Do you want to talk about?
Oh yeah.
What's this one?
I was going to say thank you.
Wow,
so
that was amazing.
Good.
Nice.
I know you don't eat egg.
No, that's cheese.
You know what? I do
like
think
Friday,
the same
right?
thing. Yeah.
It looks
yeah.
like a Friday.
But even better.
That is exactly that's what I won't be eating.
I know. So this is not for you.
But it looks so good.
It's halloumi, isn't it?
You can have the leaves. There you go.
Thank you so much.
So healthy.
And this is a fried jalapeno. Do you want to talk about your Well, food is coming, so I don't know how comfortable you are eating and talking.
Oh, look, it's going to be messy, but I don't care. Like.
Or, yeah, because we want to talk about your...
Thank you so much.
Your recent project, which is probably going to be sold out by the time this comes out, but still will be interesting to talk about.
No, there's still a lot up for grabs, so we...
But it's not like we are releasing the episode tomorrow.
Oh, okay. We'll put that out into the universe. Thank you. We're in a bear market, remember?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You still did it knowing that was the sentiment out there, right?
True.
But yeah, so we know this. You have your NFTs attached to the physical artwork.
Yes.
Let's see if I got it right.
Yes.
And then if you lose, if you don't win the raffle, you still get a printout, an A2 printout.
Yes. Yeah,
but if you win, you get the actual...
Yes.
And it's also a date with you. Is that right?
So we're going to run, we're going to have a Christmas party at my studio.
I was joking about the date.
Oh, cool.
Date? Where did you say?
I said you're getting...
Oh, my God, sorry.
No, I said you're getting the physical and people actually get going on a date out with you.
I'm happy if we get food and margarita. I'll take anyone on a date.
I didn't know about the Christmas party.
So my studio isn't open to the public at all.
Right.
And I have always said that I've never had a team. So a Christmas party, I see everyone having their Christmas parties, and I never get to celebrate. And I'm like, you know, we work so hard all year. And then I'm like sort of sitting there at the end of the year watching all these big companies have a Christmas party. So I was like, what's better than my community that I've like
100%.
That's such a great idea.
100%.
And so all of my NFT holders were going to throw a Christmas party at my studio, which is not open to the public either. So I think it'll be really cool.
That's
to
one
just
of the
see
utilities.
People in that space. And yes, that is one of So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
As we going through some episodes here, we talk about Ali and I, Ali's background, my background as well as freelancers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we totally get that. Like, everyone goes into Christmas parties
and, you're like,
and you never get invited.
Just like, you know, tears.
Yeah.
Small is smiling.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's
true.
Like, oh, that'll be fun to be part of, you know, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I did have one with Alessandra and the agent. So it was still small and we like ate my agent and we just like went out for dinner and then it escalated and I ended up at the strippers actually. So that's why we were laughing about it. And I was like,
okay.
Well, I'm not doing
I did not
that
expect
again.
That.
Like, we're going to have one at my studio. We do not let me get in any car to any other
the
venue.
Strippers are coming to the studio? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not. We're going to leave me there.
That's one of the utilities, right?
I love that you're like creating that connection as well, because I guess in a way the space still disconnected in the sense that if you buy an artwork, right, you don't get to actually interact with the artist in any formal way, whereas like you're actually kind of going back to basics,
like
you buy something from me, you still get to hang out with me and meet me and talk about the artwork.
Exactly.
And I think that's quite nice. I think that's quite a nice perk.
And look, I've tried to do that over the years, like, in the Web2 space and my traditional art, but it's hard to maintain that. You don't have that, documented on the blockchain. It's not, transparent. You don't know. You know, a lot of my originals, I have no idea where they've ended up. Absolutely no idea.
Right.
Whereas now, I've got everyone
you can track
and I can track it. And you can say thank you and you can literally give back and be like, hey, I'm throwing this party because you're a legend that believed in my vision.
Wow.
Come and let's hang out. Or, one of my holders who just literally bought a unit, Luminary, his daughter's 10 and she's an amazing artist. And he's like, do you think we can come and see your studio? I'm like, yes.
Wow. You're,
so he's coming on Saturday. Cause I'm like, I will come. And if I inspire one young person to,
she's meeting her hero, basically.
That's become my purpose. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I just think it's so much more personal. I know a lot of artists don't want to do that, and that's okay too. But I feel like that has become my purpose, is being at the forefront and being what can I do for you as well? You supported me. What can I do?
You've got some photos with these amazing people, right? Steve Aoki, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
The Rock.
And you take photos with them as well. It's like, it seems like you also connect with them in a personal level. Do you meet them before you paint, or it usually happens after?
I met Arnold before I painted him and went to his house, and I think the reception.
Whereabouts?
I went to his house. I painted a piece, and it was for his charity, and it was on display at his house. And we had a party at his house. And
not at the gym.
No. Sorry to disappoint you.
How much
I lift way more than him. What are you talking about?
You were just talking about how you've been to the gym this morning, and you're not even sore.
I'm sore from yesterday. I met Arnold, and seeing his appreciation and the way that he received that work, and he, it's like he almost knew, because I painted it was a black and white reference, and I turned it into color by eye live, and he, like, it's like it took him back when he saw that photo. He was
amazing.
Like, whoa. Straight away he's like, can I buy this?
I think that
did you say, did he buy it?
No, the guy was giving it away. He's like, sorry, we're giving it to me and give away. I'm like, you just said no. No, you can't have your own face.
Like, yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, because you're painting a portrait as well. And so I imagine knowing the person you're painting it for, you know, adds to the experience while you're doing it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So generally before, even if I haven't met someone, I'll do a lot of background research into like their story.
Oh, wow.
And their key quotes that have, like, you know, perhaps put them on the map, or their key moments in their journey, because I like to understand that, and I like to sort of communicate that through storytelling in portraiture as well. Mm. So
that's cool.
The best possible outcome is to meet them and know them, and I feel like you can see that when I first painted the Roth, hadn't met him, and then I went on to paint him again, and it was better, and then I went on to paint this mural after I'd met him and communicated with him, and he knew, we sort of, like, I guess, created a story around that piece, and it was like one of the best murals I'd done, like, technically, I'd say. And I was just like, it's so interesting that sort of plays a part, which I know a lot of other people would see, but I can see that and I understand that. Yeah,
that's incredible.
That's cool.
Are you also, like, going back a little bit to, like, meeting your heroes and everything, like, you know, you're saying as an artist you're always looking up, but surely there's a lot of artists out there that are looking at your work and going, man, I wish I could paint like that, you know, like, do you reflect on your work and stop to think, you know, I've done all of this, like, this is where I am, and kind of appreciate your journey?
I definitely do, I think not so much on the technical side. I think it's more on the, like, they say, I get messages from artists saying they were in, you know, a job where they're really unhappy, and because they saw what I've been able to do with my art and how it's extended, you know, my skill, and how it's multi-dimensional, it's not just one path.
Yeah.
They've been like, I can do this, and they quit their job and they're now happier than they've ever
been.
That
must be so
amazing.
So that's more what I guess triggers me and is like, it really motivates me, and it's getting those messages. So, because on a skill level, I mean I look at other artists and I'm like, holy moly, like,
thank you.
I was like that's wild. Like, you, the process that you've gone through, whereas I feel like I kind of, not cheap, but like a lot of my work is reference based, and and I know how much it takes to come up with a concept, and trial and error, and failing and failing and failing and failing. I think that from more of like a huge life shift standpoint. And I mean, look, I do get, you know, messages and comments like that. So I want to paint like that. I'm like, just put in the hours.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just put in the hours.
Just do the work.
Because I definitely wasn't born like that, you know. I wasn't born painting like I do now.
There's a lot of food here for you to try, except for that.
There's a lot of food.
And that. So before we wrap it up, is there anything else you want to share with us or whomever's watching about your projects and your Christmas party that only a few
sounds only a few lucky people will get to go?
Not including strippers. So.
I think it's cool that, like, I'm here, and the fact that the reason that we connected is through, like, this Web3 space.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect example of, like, us just sitting here having a drink You know, you think about back in the day, if you were to tell our grandparents now that we're sitting here with like strangers over.
I just think
it's such a beautiful thing. And let this be like a reminder that everything's like reachable. And like, if you just open yourself up to like those opportunities, because who knows where we might work together in the future. So, I think that's really cool.
I love it.
But Luminary is about that. It's relevant to what I just said too. It's about like, no matter how big the scale, no matter how what path you're on, what career you're in, you can literally make a difference and achieve greatness in any scale and any walk of life. So, and that's what that collection is about. And that it just reminds you, like, just sitting here and just like enjoying your Friday afternoon, making an impact. And even if we make an impact on two people from sitting down and having a chat, then I feel like that's
great. It's all thanks worth it. Amazing. So thank you guys. Amazing. Appreciate powerful. It. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much.
Oh my god, there's more. Thank you.
Well, we gotta feed, you know, there's a production
team. The whole team. I love it.
I'm gonna eat as well.
Danielle, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you guys.
Definitely dig in. Don't hold back on those marks.
I don't know, your culture's similar with food. If you go home and you don't eat dinner,
big time.
You know, driving.
I already put a warning on there, so it's okay. Disclaimer.
Thanks so much. Adios, and see you on the next one, guys.
We can still roll and talk, and you guys still capture some of these.
Yeah.